In 2020, the term Karen gained prominence as a popular descriptor for middle-aged entitled women. It is believed to have originated from one of two stand-up comedy routines. Other names associated with stereotypes include Keisha, Chad, and Becky. With ancient Greek roots, the word stereotype first found use in English in the context of copy printing. Expressions like tarring with the same brush and judging a book by its cover encapsulates the notion of unfairly judging or generalizing based on limited information. These phrases have possible origins in literature, justice, and agriculture. This episode explores etymology behind words of stereotyping. Etymology is the study of the origins of words. I'm Leon, and this is Etymolion. To stereotype is to oversimplify or generalize characteristics of a group of people. The definition of prejudice is to hold preconceived opinions without objective consideration of facts. Bias means to favor one side over another. The root of the word stereotype lies in ancient Greek, where stereo means solid and typos means a pressing or impression. Stereotype originated in a printing context, being a method of printing to produce identical copies. The meaning later extended to mean fixed or conventional ideas about groups of people lacking nuance. Prejudice has old French origins and entered English around the 14th century. It's formed from the Latin pri, meaning before, and judicium, meaning judgment. Bias comes from the French biais, spelt B-I-A-I-S, introduced into English in the 16th century to mean slanted or diagonal. The term later evolved to represent an inclination to one side over another. The phenomenon of name stereotyping involves the use of given names that have become culturally associated with behaviors, attitudes, and social status, serving as shorthand for preconceived notions and judgments about individuals. Let's take a look at some of these names that have become linked to particular characteristics, as well as exploring the etymology of those names. The term Karen has evolved into a stereotype, describing entitled and demanding women, often perceived as white, who are quick to complain and notorious for requesting to speak to the manager. The usage of Karen gained momentum after the widely publicized Central Park incident in 2020, where a white woman called the police on a black man for offering her dog a treat. The history of Karen as a descriptor for middle-aged entitled women dates back further. An online discussion forum dedicated to sharing memes and stories about Karens was established on the social platform Reddit in 2017. Two potential origins for the term Karen can be traced to stand-up routines. One in 2015 by Jay Farrow, and another in 2005 by Dane Cook. Karen itself is a medieval Danish short form of the name Catherine, which is from the ancient Greek akatrine, the precise meaning of which is uncertain. Despite that, many interpret Catherine to mean pure, due to its similarity to the Greek katharos, which means pure. Chad is a name that has become associated with a particular stereotype, that of a confident, dominant, and attractive alpha male. The origins of the use of Chad in this context, particularly in online circles, can be traced back to a Canadian satirical blog from the mid-noughties. It poked fun at individuals with the aforementioned qualities. The name Chad is thought to derive from the Old English name Chadder, which may be connected to the Middle Welsh word Cad, meaning battle. Middle Welsh, spoken between the 12th and 15th century, serves as the precursor to the Welsh spoken today. Keisha and Becky are other names that have become linked to stereotypes. Perceptions associated with Keisha connect the name to the stereotype of a typical black girl, while Becky as a pejorative is linked to a basic white girl. Keisha is considered a variant of the name Keziah, meaning cinnamon or cassia, the tree that produces the aromatic bark. Becky, a diminutive of the name Rebecca, also has Hebrew origins, from Rivka, meaning to tie or connect. Throughout history, various terms have emerged to categorize people experiencing upward social mobility. Bourgeoisie arose in the late Middle Ages to depict the growing middle class of business owners. Nouveau riche distinguished the newly affluent from those with inherited wealth. And the term yuppie was coined in the 1980s to represent ambitious, young, city professionals. Bourgeoisie is from the old French bourgeois to mean a town dweller. Many towns in England have the burg or borough suffix. The bourg element of the word derives from the same root, burg, to mean a fortified town. Nouveau riche translates to new rich in French and is an early 19th century phrase. The term that's more common today is new money. Nouveau goes back to the Latin novus, and rich to the Proto-Germanic word rikias. The yup in yuppie stands for young, upwardly mobile professional. First thought to have been used in print in a 1980 article in the May edition of Chicago magazine, but understood to have been used in common speech long before. To tar someone with the same brush is to unfairly associate them with the negative traits of others. This expression may find its roots in the historical practice of tarring and feathering, a form of punishment during the Middle Ages where criminals were covered in tar and feathers. A more plausible origin is linked to the agricultural practice of farmers marking or branding their sheep with tar in order to distinguish one flock from another. Bimbo is believed to trace back to the Italian word bambino, meaning child. Introduced into American English by Italian immigrants in the early 20th century, it initially referred to foolish men, potentially associating them with child-like qualities. Over time, it transformed into a derogatory term for an attractive but unintelligent woman, with the male counterpart, himbo, emerging in the 1980s. The origin of nerd is uncertain, but it's thought to have originated in the 1950s. One theory suggests it may have evolved from a pronunciation of the word nuts, implying craziness. Another theory proposes a rebracketing of the word inert to mean lacking vigour. Rebracketing occurs when words are incorrectly divided or restructured based on their pronunciation. An interesting example of rebracketing is the historical shift from napron, N-A-P-R-O-N, to apron, A-P-R-O-N. Over time, as people consistently used the term a napron to refer to the protective kitchen garment, the N sound shifted to join the A, resulting in the rebracketed form apron. The term snob is employed to characterize someone who condescendingly looks down on others. However, when the word was initially used in the context of class, it referred to commoners and individuals of low status. An example of the dynamic nature of language, where meanings can undergo significant shifts over time. They say you should never judge a book by its cover, as outward appearances may not accurately reflect what's within. The popularization of this saying is attributed to two novels. In Murder in the Glass Room, a 1946 story by Edwin Rolfe and Lester Fuller, the phrase, "You can never tell a book by its cover," appears. Similarly, The Mill on the Floss, written by George Eliot and published in 1860, featured the line, "Don't judge a book by its cover." The word diva evokes images of female pop stars with extravagant demands and an inclination for drama. Originating from the Italian word for goddess, it traces back to the Proto-Indo-European deus, meaning god. Proto-Indo-European is a reconstructed language based on linguistic research, and the word deus is connected to words like deity, a god or supreme being, and divine, which can mean godlike in quality. A prima donna, or first lady in Italian, initially referred to the main female opera singer in the 18th century, but expanded by the 19th to describe someone who views themselves highly and has expectations to match. Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, give it a rating or review. I hope this episode has inspired you to look up the history of words. Remember, language, history, etymology, and pronunciations can be complex and elusive. Keep in mind that perspectives may vary on the origins of words. Catch up on previous episodes and follow the podcast for more.